Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, we love you tonight. Please help open our eyes, Lord. Let us behold wonderful things out of thy law. I pray that, Lord, please, when you showed me this, it helped me. And I wish it to help each person here. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. When you look at Song of Solomon, chapter 2, the Shunammite girl, she speaks, and then when you hit verse 8, if you start verse 8 there, watch this. It says here, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills." In the next couple of verses here, you're going to hear some phrases that are similar to the rapture. "But my beloved is like a roer, a young hart, behold he." So she is doing the talking. "Behold, he standeth behind our wall, and he looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said." So from here to verse number 14, it is the shepherd boy through the lattice. She is being held in King Solomon's harem there and getting ready to be married. And she sees her shepherd boy outside the palace, and he speaks to her from the wall. And this is what he says. Look at verse number 10. "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell." And he says it again, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Now, the next verse is what I wanted to show you. The shepherd boy is talking to his Shunammite girl, and this is what he says, "O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance," or thy face, "is comely." This is the picture. She says, "There he is, that's my shepherd boy." And he looks up at her, and there's probably a courtyard in between there. And he says, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." And just like the Shunammite pictures Jesus, and in the story, the Shunammite girl pictures us. Verse 14 says, God comes to us. I'm going to spiritualize it now. And just like the Shunammite, the shepherd boy says, "I like to hear your voice. Talk to me. I like to see your face, your countenance." I have sometimes held my wife's face in my hands and said, "I like to look into your eyes." That's the same thing I think of when I read this verse. Just like a husband likes to hold his wife's face and say, "I love you. I love to look into your eyes. I love it when you talk to me." God says the same thing to you. He likes to hold your face in his hands and says, "Talk to me. I love the sound of your voice. I like your countenance. I like it when you're happy that I saved you." God says, "Your countenance is attractive to me. I like to look at you." That's verse 14. Tonight's Bible study, that verse has meant a lot to me since I've been saved. And tonight's name of it, the Bible study, is called this. We've been dealing with prayer, but this is called God Likes to Spend Time with You. You see, here's the paradigm shift. I understand wanting to spend time with God because He's so great and mighty. I should want to be with Him. Right? He's worthy. What absolutely amazes me is that God wants to be with me. And probably more so because His love is purer than mine and always will be. I don't love Him like He loves me. My love is fickle. His love is everlasting and constant. And so I use that verse as a springboard tonight, and I want you to think about something. God says, "I love being with you. I love spending time with you. I love it when you read my word. I love it when you pray to me." God says, we're going to go to a few places here, but okay, here, take your Bible and go to Matthew 6. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Go to the New Testament. Look at verse number 7. All of these verses are absolutely amazing as far as God says, okay, well, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too early. I'm for running over the cat with a car. And sometimes you need to just go ahead and throw the cat that's in the bag in the river. Okay, I don't like cats. No problem. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 6. Ready? I'm sorry. I thought I would entertain you while you turned. All right? Matthew 6. Look at verse 7. Ready? But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Look at the next verse. Matthew 7:8 says, be not ye therefore like unto them. What a phrase. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. If God already knows what I need, then I think one reason God says, I'm not informing God of anything He does not already know when I pray. We just lifted up, we just asked God, you know what the main thing about what we just did with is prayer? Whether it's individual or in a group, God says, I already know what you need. I know more about the needs than you do. Reason I want you to pray, talk to me, is because I like to spend time with you. I like to spend time with you. God likes to be with you. That's why it's important that you as a child of God, as a Christian, that you have a time on every day where you meet with God, where you read the Bible, where you pray. You say, oh, I'll miss my time. Have you ever stood anybody up, said you'd be there and you wouldn't? Did you ever picture God being stood up? I was looking forward to our time. You said last night, man, when I get up tomorrow morning, I'm going to read my Bible and pray. I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. And instead, you hit the snooze. And then you get up and run out. And God says, I was really looking forward to the time with you. I was really looking forward to speaking to your heart and you speaking to me. God likes to spend time with you. You've already went to Matthew 6, 7, and 8. I'll just read you this. Mark 11:24 says, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Psalm 2, verse 8, God says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possessions. Ask of me. Psalm 81, verse 10, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Love this. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. God says, I love a big mouth Baptist. You say, oh, I don't want to ask God for that. That's trivial. God said, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Ask me. Ask me what you need. I like to spend time with you. Oh, I can get that myself. I can work that out. Ask me. I want to help you. I want to spend time with you. That helps me as a Christian. Because I understand wanting to spend time with the Lord. But I don't understand how my Creator that I've sinned against, that I've wronged and I fail, wants to be with me every day. What a God. What a God. Now, God is looking for a heart that wants Him. Would you take your Bible and go to John chapter 4, verse 23. John chapter 4 and verse 23. Right there in the middle of the verse where it says, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And it's this last little phrase here that I just think is wonderful. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God says, I'm looking for someone who wants to spend time with me. God says, I like to spend time. You see, you're special to God. There is no one like you. God made you to fill a need God had. And if you don't fill it, it won't get done. God made you, and it doesn't make you better than anybody, but you can praise God like nobody else can. And you can love God like nobody else can. And if you don't, nobody can love God exactly like you can. And that's why there'll be a void if you don't. If you don't spend time with God, if you don't let God use you, God wants to spend time with you, and He created you to fill a need that He had. You weren't born, and then God said, oh, I wonder what I'm going to have them do. Oh, great, another baby. Here, send them all. God didn't do that. God said, I made you for a purpose. And God says, one of those purposes, one of them, is to spend time with me. God says, I like to be with you. How about this? God is, verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If I use these verses, just listen. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. That means this. I think God's looking for somebody that wants Him. However high your desire is for the Lord is how much your heart is tender towards the things of God. You ever meet somebody, it's like, oh, I don't care. Man, church is Sunday. I don't care. No desire. There's no desire. God says, I just want to know that your heart wants me. Because God says, I know what you want more than you want anything in the world. And God says, my name is jealous. And God says, I love it when you try to love me back. God says, okay, how about this? Matthew 18:32. In that passage on forgiveness, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Why? Because thou desirest me. I think that's one of the neatest verses to think about. God likes to spend time with you. There's no need that I have that God does not know that I have, because my greatest need is my need for the Lord. Would you take your Bible now and let's go to Mark chapter 3, and I'm going to draw a few conclusions with this. Mark chapter 3, Matthew, Mark chapter 3. Look at verse number 13. So God likes to spend time with you. That thought, look, nothing helps me. I understand if I went to spend time with God and He was too busy, you know, He's got a lot to do. I would understand that. But I don't understand if you understand the concept God wants to spend time with you, why you wouldn't want to spend time with Him. You understand? I understand, Lord, I'm here. Hey, got a lot to handle. And if, okay, Lord, I understand. He never does that with me, and He never does that with you. But we do that with Him, right? We do that with Him. God likes and wants to spend time with you. Look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse number 13. And He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto Him whom He would. So He's getting ready to call the disciples. And they came unto Him, and He ordained 12. And this little phrase should be underlined, that they should be with Him. The first reason Jesus called the disciples was to be with Him. Because the rest of the verse says this. It says that they should be with Him and that they might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And then it lists the apostles. Why did Jesus call the disciples? So they could preach. Nope, that was reason number two. He called the disciples that they should be with Him. He called them to be His companions. You say, well, that's the apostles. When God saved you to be with Him. You say, God saved me so I could go soul winning. Soul winning's important, but it's not the first thing. God saved you because He likes to spend time with you. And the first reason you have... That's why I tell you all the time, most important thing you do, I honestly believe, if I can get you reading your Bible and praying and spending time with the Lord, God speaks to your heart and you'll do what God wants you to do. But if that's always on the burner and that's never gotten to and it's always secondary, then God doesn't work in your life. Then the only thing you get spiritually is when you come to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's why I hope this is an encouragement to you. You were called to be with Him. Listen closely to me tonight. You got saved because you didn't want to go to hell. But Jesus saved you to be with you. And most people don't think that, because we'll tell somebody before they get saved, you're a sinner, you're on your way to hell, and God can save you from hell if you'll put your trust in Jesus. And that's what we tell them, and that's truthful. And it's always about, here's what God's going to do for you, and God's going to give you eternal life, and God is going to help you, and it's always what you can do, what God's going to do for you. Nothing is about the reason God's saving you is so that you can be with Him. God's going to give you this and this and this and a new body and eternal life, and you're going to get the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and man, it's going to be great. But we don't ever talk to them about what they need to do for God. Here's what God is saving you for. He's saving you too because He loves you. Now you can stand in His presence, clean, the blood washed. You're spotless. You're seen just as His Son. It's going to be amazing. I mean, before you got saved, you couldn't talk to God because, you know, your sins had separated you from Him. But now your sins are all gone. And any time you walk, I mean, listen, tomorrow at work, you can talk to Him at any time. You don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to have your Bible. Literally, when you walk, He's just as much in the bathroom as He is in here, as He is in the parking lot, as He is on the street. I mean, you can talk to Him any time. You now have, didn't Jesus tell us, John 17:3, this is eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. It's a relationship. Yes, you got saved because you didn't want to go to hell. But Jesus saved you so that you could be with Him. So that you could be with Him. Number two, now that you're saved, you look forward to heaven, where you're going to be forever with the Lord. Did you know, though, that Jesus looks forward to being with you today? One day I'm going to get to go to heaven. I know, but you can talk to Him anytime you want. Tonight, after we leave church, when you go home, on your way home, you can talk to Him. And tonight, when you lay your head down on your pillow, your last words as you drift off into sleep could be, Jesus, I love You. He's right there. Isn't that awesome? You got a relationship with the Lord. God wants to spend time with you. How about this? That was one. We look forward to heaven. How about this? We look forward to the rapture, where our bodies are going to be changed. But Jesus looks forward to being with you and changing you today. I am looking forward to the time when this body drops, this sinful nature and my tendency to do wrong and my weaknesses, and I get my new body. I'm looking forward to that. But Jesus is looking forward to walking with me tomorrow and giving me victory in my life tomorrow. And if I'm not careful, we long for the future, praise God, and we don't look at what God wants to do with us today. I want to spend time with you today. I want to hear Your voice today. I want to spend time with You. How about this? Being with God, being with the Lord, is your personal time with God. I know I've already hinted at this. That's your Bible study and your Bible time and your prayer time. And there's only one reason we don't spend time with God. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, right? How can two walk together except they be agreed? There's only one reason. When I get backslidden and my heart gets hard, there's only one reason I don't spend time with the Lord, because I don't see eye to eye with God. I disagree. Right? How can two walk together except they be agreed? Lord, I don't know why that happened. I wouldn't have done it that way. And all of a sudden, God and I aren't agreeing. And I have to say, if I'm going to continue to walk with God, He doesn't have to see it my way. I need to see it His way. It's my job to, okay, I don't know why that happened, but Lord, I'm going to go ahead and trust that You know what's best and You're in control, because I want to keep walking. But when we disagree, it's when we don't walk. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's being an extremist. That's taking this Jesus thing too far. Come on, do it with reason. Just have balance. Don't go too far. Can you really go too far with the Lord? Can you love Him too much? Can you serve Him too much? Can you give Him too much of you? You can't. You can't. And I'll never love Him like He loves me. So there's only one reason we don't spend time with God. Here's the danger in the Christian life. Would you go to Luke chapter 10, verse 38? Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Here's the danger. Luke chapter 10, I want you to see this, and you can think about this later, but Luke chapter 10, and look at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But look at this, one thing is needful. One thing. One. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Here's the danger in the Christian life. When you measure spirituality by activity. Activity's good, and your love for the Lord should push you to do something. So I'm not endorsing idleness as much as I'm saying, here's the danger. When you get busy serving, sometimes it's easier to serve than it is to shut everything down and face yourself and let God work. It's easier for me to look at all that I'm doing. I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. And you end up being a Martha, cumbered about much serving, and here's where that ends, just so you know. I'm the only one that's serving God around here. That's what Martha said. Lord, Mary's been sitting here at your feet, and I'm cooking dinner. And you know what that type of attitude? If you don't, look, where you get the energy to serve God is in your quiet time. And if you don't refuel the tank, you burn out. And it's a lot easier if you aren't careful, and then because in your own life you measure, well, I'm doing a lot for God. That's supposed to be the end, not the means. And if you aren't careful, Christian, you're going to judge your spirituality by your activity instead of... And activity is good. But there's no substitute. There's no substitute. And I've heard people say this. I remember as a young Christian, I was struggling reading my Bible. And somebody said, oh, just read a couple of verses and then in the car on your way to work, think about it. I tried that. It didn't work for me. Okay? It works for some. It did not work for me. I had to have a segment of time where I looked at the words, I whispered them when I read. Because I needed to see and hear it. Now we got audio CDs, amen? But I'm just letting you know what somebody else told me. Oh, you don't got to read your Bible a whole lot. Just read a couple of verses real quick before you go out the door, get in the car, and then think about it for your 20-minute drive. And it didn't work. I was like, okay, I did that for about 2 weeks. And I was still, I was like, my heart's cold. You know what I mean? And finally, I came to the realization, I need Bible time. I need time with the Lord where He speaks to my heart. And there has to be a time where you shut it all off and you say, this is my time with God. Be careful that you don't measure spirituality by activity. Activity is good, but remember, it's the end, it's not the means. Remember, Jesus told the Ephesians in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. They were so busy serving God, they forgot the reason for it all. You know when church becomes real boring? When you lose your focus on Him. We do it to reach people, right? But people have failed you, and people will fail you some more. We do it for the Lord, and if you lose your focus on Him, then yeah, this place is pretty boring without Him. Amen? Amen? Jesus is the reason for it all. I'm almost done. Listen closely. Reading, would you go to your... we need to go to one more place. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 16. Ready? Reading and studying your Bible, and I know I've already told you this, and spending time with Jesus gives you strength to do the outward. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse number 16. And I hope this is another one that you go back and look over. Look at verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, the part of us that got saved, is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, the trials that we're going through, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now look at verse number 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God says our inward man is renewed. We get strength when we spend time with the Lord, when we read His Word, and it that's where we get the strength to say no when we're tempted. It's where we get the strength to go soul winning. And overcome I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know. We get the strength to overcome our fears. We get the strength to keep going and not quit. By how? Spending time with the Lord. Spending time with the Lord. One last thought. You were saved to be with the Lord. You were saved to spend time with Jesus. It helps you want God when you know He wants you. That amazes me. And I'm so glad I serve. You know what? I was thinking today, and you remember when Moses went up to the top of the mountain, and the people were down, and he was getting ready to get the Ten Commandments, and he said, then God gives Moses some instructions and says, tell the men this, and make sure they do this, and clean the camp, and stuff like this. And Moses gets ready to make the announcement, God's going to talk to us. God's going to talk to us out of the clouds. And do you remember the people's response? Whoa, Moses, don't let God talk to us. That amazes me in the Bible. You mean you could hear God's voice from heaven and you said, no, I don't want that. No, Moses, you talk with God. I cannot help but think that broke God's heart. Here's a people that He delivered, 10 plagues, they crossed the Red Sea, He's done all this, and He's thinking, man, I got me 3 million Jews, glory to God, look at this, these are my people, I saved them, I redeemed them, brought them out, look at that, and then, no, we don't want to hear the voice of God. God says, you don't want to spend time with me? The rejection. And these are people that just saw His mighty hand. No. Moses, you talk with God and tell us what He said. And that was the elders. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, how many times do we do the same thing? No, we'll let the preacher do it. I don't read my Bible because I'm a pastor. I read my Bible and I pray because I'm saved. And I can get backslidden and away from God just like anybody else can. My hope is that tonight, if you're introduced to this wonderful personal God that saved you to be with Him, that you could look at your quiet time a little differently and think, wow, I'm looking forward to it, but I didn't know God was looking forward to it. I mean, I had a good time with my Bible reading, but man, I didn't know God was going, 5 more minutes. They're going to be here. Quick, get everything ready. Vacuum that over there again. I knew I was anticipating God, but I didn't know God was looking forward to me. And when you have such a wonderful God, I hope you want to spend time with one who wants to be with you. Let's pray. Father, please use the message.